done something, that step over. I fixed it though.
When I came up this morning, I hit my toe on the corner of that monitor and almost fell. And they sat over and laughed at me. You reap what you sow. You mark that down. Amen. I want you to take God's word and be finding the book of Malachi in chapter 3. The book of Malachi in chapter 3. I love to hear Darren sing that song. I Surrender All is a great song, and I like that particular arrangement of it. It has been my custom now for several years to take the month of May and to spend time talking about the subject of giving. And I want you to understand tonight that my purpose in taking 1 month a year or three or four Sundays a year to talk about giving, and I say a lot about giving, But this is the only time of the year that I really preach on giving. I want you to understand that it's not just to raise money. That's not why I preach on giving. I think about something Dr. George W. Truitt said, who pastored for many years the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. And he spent a lot of time preaching on giving, but he made this statement: we emphasize stewardship not for the purpose of getting the money, but for the purpose of developing the giver in the Christian life. I learned a long time ago that if you'll ever get the victory in the area of giving, it's kind of like a release in your life. It's kind of like setting you free if you can ever learn to give the way God wants you to give. And so the reason I preach on giving is not so much to raise money. I preach on giving because I want you to grow in your life as a believer. And if you have trouble with your money and obeying God in your money, you're going to have trouble in all of your Christian life. If you disobey God in the area of giving, you're going to struggle as a believer. Because if you cannot win the battle in the area of giving, and if He cannot be Lord of your giving, then it's a good indication there will be other areas in your life that you will not give to Him, and you'll disobey Him in other areas. So the reason I take this time of talking about giving is because I believe this is one of the most liberating things in the life of a believer. It is one of the most liberating things that can happen in the life of a church. If a church will learn to give, it will set them free. So I say all that because tonight I want us to talk about why people do not give. I want you to stand as we honor the reading of His Word, a familiar passage of Scripture. I'm going to draw some things from it tonight, and we'll learn about this matter of why people do not give the way God wants them to give. Now, here's the question that is asked in Malachi 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And this is how God answers, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, He says in verse 9, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Before I pray, can I ask you to do a couple of things? Can I ask you to ask God to open your heart to the truth of His Word? When I pray in just a moment, will you pray that and say, Lord, would you open my heart to the truth of your Word? I really believe this. If God is going to work in our lives, we've got to be open to His Word. Amen? And we've got to be open to the truth of God. So will you ask God to open your heart to the truth of His Word? And then would you ask God to talk to you tonight? Will you ask God to teach you? Many of you are giving to God as God wants you to give. But it may be that there's God, you've never really learned all that God intends for your giving to be. Will you ask God to teach you tonight? Will you do that? Let's pray. Our Father, in Jesus' name, as we come to you tonight, we come. And Father, it doesn't matter what the subject is. I want you to open my heart to the truth of your Word. Lord, it doesn't matter what the subject may be tonight. The truth of the matter is, Lord, open all of our hearts to the truth of your Word. We want to know what your will and plan for our life is, even in the area of our money. And so, Father, tonight, help us to grow. Lord, I know this and believe this, that one of the most liberating things that could happen in any life is learning how to give. And so tonight, I pray that you'd help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord through your Word, and help us to grow tonight in this area of our life as a believer. So help us now, and we'll praise you and thank you for it is. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. When I think about the subject of giving and I think about our text, I think about a text that gives us one of the plainest and most enlightening instructions on giving as any other verse or verses in the Bible. If we were to approach this text in one way, we could find out what to give, and we could also find out where to give. Again, it's some of the plainest words in the Bible about giving, and some of the most instructive in all the Word of God concerning our giving. But at the same time, it reveals how God views our lack of giving. For you notice the question is asked by God in verse 8 there, will a man rob God? If you really want to understand how God views and what God thinks about the matter of our failing to give as He has commanded us to do, God simply calls it robbery. When you realize how God looks at our lack of giving, it is like God is saying, you're nothing but a thief. You're nothing but a robber. The analogy that He uses there suggests the great displeasure that God has when we fail to give to God the way that He's instructed us to give. So when we understand how God views our lack of giving, it indicates how we should seek God and learn to give the way God wants us to give. I think about several studies that I have read about giving, and of course I clean up and file everything I can get my hands on. And many of the files that I have to do with giving, and I have come across many, many different studies on giving and have found some interesting facts about giving. In fact, one of the most interesting facts that I have ever found about giving is that those who have the most and those that have the larger income on a percentage basis usually give the least. Can I say that again? That on a percentage basis, those that have the most give the least. But I've also found that those who have the least on a percentage basis are the ones that give the most. Now, I have no idea what people give in this church. I never know anything about the giving of the people of God in this place. I have no idea what you give. I have no idea who you are, if you give or if you do not give. But I am sure this would be true. If I was to say to Rhonda, would you do a study of all of our people and their giving and tell me those that make the most, what is the percentage of their giving, and those that make the least, what is the percentage of their giving? And I'm sure it would be true here that those who have the most usually give the least. And those that have the least are the ones that give the most. Ron Blue found in one of his studies that those who make under $10,000 usually give an average of 3.6% of their income. Those that make somewhere between $10,000 and $19,999 usually give 4% of their income. Those who make between $20,000 and $29,999 give an average of 2.5% of their income. Those who make $30,000 up to $39,000 give an average of 1.8%. Those who make $40,000 up to $49,000 give an average of 2.3%. Those who make $50,000 up to $74,999 average giving 2% of their income. And those who make $75,000 up to $99,000 give an average of 1.9%. And those who make salaries over $100,000, they give an average of 2.5%. The ones that gave the most are those who make between $10,000 and $20,000, and they give 4%. Another independent study found that households with incomes below $10,000 give away an average of 2.8% of their income, while households with incomes between $50,000 and $100,000 give away only 1.5% of their income. And it was found that nearly half of the total contributions to charity in the United States came from households with incomes below $30,000. Another Gallup poll survey showed that almost half the total charitable contribution in the United States came from households with income less than $30,000. Now, what does all that say, and how do I respond to all of that? I say that is both sad and it is sinful. For what it really does is indicate and reveal that many people have never learned or accepted what God's plan for giving is. That is, they have never understood what it is that God wants them to give, or they understand it and they do not accept what God's plan about giving is. In 1983, U.S. churchgoers donated $21.5 billion. But it was found, according to the IRS, that if they had donated 10% of their income, they would have given $134 billion. So again, there's many people that have never learned to give, or they have a problem with giving. They are not giving, or they're not giving as God has so desired and planned for us in the Word. So why do not people give? Well, let me just point out three things from our text tonight. Are you with me? Say amen. This is exciting. It's about preaching. It's as good as if I was preaching on heaven, isn't it? Amen? Yes, it is. Well, here are these three things. I want you to look at them. The first one is this. I want you to think for a moment about what people do not give. Now, when we talk about people not giving, think for a moment about what it is they are not giving. You notice in verse 8, the question is asked, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And notice God's answer. ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Now you underscore that last statement there, tithes and offerings, because you see, according to God's plan, that our giving involves two acts of giving. I want you to understand about God's plan tonight. And when a person does not give, what is it they are not giving? For one thing, according to our text here, they're not giving a specific amount. For he talks about our tithe here. They said, where have we robbed thee? And God said, first of all, in your tithes. And when we talk about a tithe, we're talking about a simple tenth of our income. There is a percentage of our income. And what he's talking about is a specific amount that God requests and a specific amount that God requires. So when we are not giving, we're not giving that which God has told us to give, which is 10%. Now the math is very, very simple. If you make $100, your tithe is what? $10. If you make $200, then your tithe is to be $20. If you make $300, your tithe is to be $30. If you make $400, your tithe is to be $40. If you make $500, your tithe is to be $50. If you make $600, your tithe is to be $60. And if it's $700, $70. If it's $800, it's $80. If it's $900, it's $90. And if you make $1,000, your tithe is to be $100. You see, it's very simple math. Now, one of the things that God asks, and one of the things about God's and our giving, is that we're to give a tithe. We're to give a tenth of our income. Now, follow me for just a moment. It is very possible to give and not give as God requests and God requires. Now, again, I know nothing about giving here. I know what the amounts are and the total is week after week. But I am sure that it's true here like any other church. I would say that the average contribution here Sunday after Sunday, if you were to average all out and average gifts and what he's given, is probably $25. That is about the truth all across the country in churches there, that if you take out the high gifts and you take out the low gifts, then it would probably average out that the average person on Sunday morning in this church or any other church, what you probably do is drop in a check for $25. Now, if you were to drop in a check for $25, that $25 gift is implying that you've made $250 that week. That you as a wife or you as a husband, that your total income that week has been $250. That's what you're implying when you drop in a check of $25. But let's say here's a man, he works, and here is a wife, and she works, and both of them, their combined income is $600. Now, according to God's standard of giving, which is a tithe, then their tithe on Sunday morning should be what? $60. But they drop in a check for $25. Now, what have you done? You have given, but you've not tithed. You have given a gift to the church. You have made a contribution to the church. Or you have given a gift to the Lord. You have given, but you haven't obeyed God. You have given something to the Lord. You have given something to church. But you have not tithed. You have not given according to God's plan for your giving. So when he talks about a tithe here, he's talking about a specific amount. Now you remember the survey that I mentioned earlier, the surveys? That an independent study showed that those with incomes below $10,000 gave away an average of 2.8% more than any others, and those with incomes between $50,000 and $100,000 only gave 1.5%. Now, what you had is those that had the least given the most, but the bottom line is that each one of them gave, but neither one of them gave what God has told us to give. You see, both groups gave. The ones below 10,000 gave 2.8%. Those between 50 and 1,000 gave 1.5%. Both of them gave, but neither one of them obeyed God. Neither one of them fulfilled God's plan in their giving. Because you see, friend, one of the ways when we talk about giving, if we are not giving, one of the things we're not giving is our tithe, a specific amount that God has told us to give. Now, I want you to understand something tonight. When God talks about a tenth, he's talking about everybody. Not just people that have a lot, people that don't have a lot. He's talking about a tenth. A tenth of everything that I bring in belongs to God. A tenth of everything you have, a tenth of your income belongs to God. That is God's plan of giving. George Barna found that one-third of all born-again adults claim to tithe their income. that one-third of all born-again adults in this country claim to tithe their income, but when compared to annual household income, only 12% actually do so. Many people say, I tithe. What they mean is, I put money in the church. But really, if you tithe, you only tithe when you have given at least 10% of your income to the Lord. Amen? They said, where have we robbed thee? And God said, first of all, in a specific amount. You have robbed me of your tithe. A tenth of your income that belongs to me, that's what you have robbed me of. But notice something else they robbed God for. And what is it that people do not give? One is a specific amount, is a tithe. But second of all, there is a special amount. For he not only talks about tithing here, he said in verse 8, he said, you have robbed me one in tithes and offerings. See, we've got this idea that a tithe is all God asks of us. But yet God asks more of us. A tenth of what I have belongs to God. A tenth of what I have, I am to give to God. That is a specific amount that I am to give to God of my income. It is a tenth. It is a tithe. But giving doesn't stop with a tenth. Giving doesn't stop with a tithe. And this is where many believers have never learned to tithe. They give, but they don't tithe. But then there are those who have learned to tithe, but yet they have never learned to give. And what I mean by that is they've never learned that God not only wants a tithe, but he also wants an offering as well. There's a specific amount, a tenth, but there's a special amount. That is amount that goes over and above the specific amount that God has asked for. You see, when we give our tithe and offerings, it reveals that our tithe, when we give our tithe, it reveals our obedience, that I'm going to obey God. But when I give my offerings, when I give an offering that is an amount over and above my tithe and offerings, it reveals our allegiance. My tithe reveals my obedience to God. My offering reveals my allegiance to Him. That He is much more than a God in my life. He is Lord in my life. The giving of the tithe reveals our attitude about God's Word. But the giving of the offering reveals our attitude about God's worth. You see, when I tithe, I am obeying God in a specific amount. But when I give over and above a tithe, as God wants me to give, I am showing my love and gratitude to God. A tithe shows our respect to the law. Our offerings shows our reverence of the Lord. Now, I said a moment ago, it's very possible to give and not tithe. It is very possible that you can come in here on Sunday and drop in $10 when really you should have put in $40. It is very possible to come in here on Sunday and put in a check for $25, but really, if you had obeyed God, it would have been $55. It is very possible to give and not be obedient to God in the matter of tithing. It is very possible to tithe and still not be obedient to God. Because giving, as I said a moment ago, does not stop with the tenth. It is a tithe and an offering. It is giving over and above that specific amount, that amount that God is required of us. It is giving a special amount. I read a story just this week. It was told by a fellow by the name of Wayne Rice. I do not know who Wayne Rice is. But the story that he told, I thought, was an excellent story of how we often treat God when it comes to our giving. He told about when he was a junior high student in junior high Sunday school, and he had a teacher that really made an impression on him in many ways, but one of the things that she did one day, he never forgot. She came into her Sunday school class one morning, and she had a big pan of brownies. And she set that brownie on a table, in front of her, and then she pulled out these little slips of paper, and she gave a slip of paper to every one of the students in her class. And on those slips of paper were all kinds of expenses that were listed. One slip had house payment on it. Another slip had car payment wrote on it. Another had water bill wrote on it. Another slip had electric bill wrote on it. And it had all these different kinds of expenses. One had entertainment on it. And different. One had groceries on it. And on and on and on and on. And this is what the teacher did. Once she passed out all those slips to all those students that had those expenses on it, she called the first one out. She said, who's got house payment? And one raised her hand and said, I've got a house payment, I've got a house payment. And she said, bring that slip up and trade it for a brownie. And so that little boy walked up and took his little slip that had house payment on it and redeemed it for a brownie. And one after another, she called out the names that are on those slips. And one after another, students came up and redeemed their slips for a brownie. And it got down that there was no more brownies, but one boy had a slip. And she said, "What's on your slip?" And the little boy said, "God." And she said, "Come and redeem your slip." And he got up there and he said, "But there's nothing but crumbs in the pan." And the lesson she taught the boys that day was that what we do many times in our giving is we put everything first and then God gets the crumbs of what we have left. Isn't that the way we often treat our income to God? When you talk about a tithe and you talk about an offering, you're talking about a tenth. And when you're talking about a tenth, you're talking about the first fruits. In other words, when the Bible talks about giving a tithe, a specific amount to God, it means the first one that gets anything out of our income is God. Not the crumbs. Not just coming along, if we got anything left, we'll give it to God. Or not that if we happen to have anything, if we got a little extra this week, we'll give it to God. No, God is first. But when people do not give, what they do not give is their tithe, and they do not give their offerings. Are you still with me now? Say amen. But look at the second thing. Not only what people do not give, but notice from the text when people do not give. What is it that people are not giving when they do not give? They're not giving a tithe, which is a specific amount. And they're not giving a special amount, which is an offering. 10% plus something over that 10% that is an offering to God. That's what is not being given. But when they do not give, what happens when people do not give? Look at verse 10. He said, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Now, what you have when you see people do, when they're not giving, when they do not give, there's one word that I could write across verse 10, and that is, you are deprived. There is something being deprived when people do not give. What occurs when people do not give? First of all, the house of God is deprived. For notice what he said in verse 10, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse." The storehouse was the treasury room of the temple. That's where people brought their tithe, they brought their offerings, and it was deposited, it was given to the priest, and the priest put it in the storehouse there. And what was the storehouse? It was today, to you and me, it would simply be a bank account. They didn't have banks in those days, so they had a storehouse. They had a room where they stored the offerings and the gifts that were given there. Today, we would simply give it to the church to be deposited in the bank and whatever there. But really, what these giving to the storehouse for was God's method of funding the daily operations and functions and the maintenance of the house of God. You see, they would bring in their tithe and they would bring in their offering to equip the temple to carry out its purpose. They would bring in their tithe and they would bring in their offerings so that the functions of the priest and the functions of the temple might be carried out. For example, mark your place in Malachi and turn to Numbers 18. Let me give you an example there. They would bring their tithe to the Levites. Numbers chapter 18, and notice with me please beginning in verse 20. Numbers chapter 18 beginning in verse 20. Notice what the Bible said in verse 20. Numbers 18 and verse 20. He's talking about bringing their tithe. Now notice one of the specific things he tells them about bringing their tithes. Look at it here. "And the Lord said unto Aaron," in verse 20, Numbers 18, "Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel." And look at this. "And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth, a tithe in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation." Verse 23, "But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity, shall be a statue forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit." Now, he wasn't saying they gave that money literally to the Levites. The Levites were the people, all the other tribes were given a portion of land throughout the land of Palestine except the Levites. God gave the tribe of Judah this section here. God gave Issachar this section. God gave Zebulun this section. He gave all the tribes of Israel a portion of the land of Palestine except the Levites. He didn't give them anything. Because these were people that were dedicated and given over full time to the work of the temple there. That was their life. And so what he did, the tithe was given to them. What he was doing was God's way of supporting them. It's God's way of funding them so they could be totally dedicated to the work of the temple. It was God's way, you might say, of paying for the staff. And I bring that out because there are other examples there. Because when people do not give, what they are doing, they're withholding from God's work. You see, what you do not give is your tithe and your offering. When you do not give, you are depriving the work of God. Because the work of God depends upon your tithe and your offering. And your work of God depends on what we're able to do in the church or whatever there. And of course, the counterpart, New Testament counterpart of the temple would be the church. And the church is able to do what it does because God gives, provides through the tithe and the offering of the people of God. Understand tonight, God doesn't support his church through rummage sales. That's not God's method to fund the church. And God doesn't support himself by sending our deacons out to Las Vegas once a year. Though they do. But, that's not the way God, some of them do, amen? And that's not the way. God's way of funding the church is through the tithe and the offering of the people of God. And when we do not give, we are depriving the church from being able to do the work that God has given us to do. That's like, how do we have what we do? How are we going to build this 20,000 square feet of building out here? How are we going to put up that? How are we going to do our ministries? How do we do what we do? I'll tell you how we do it. We do it because what you give on the Lord's day. As you're obedient to God in your tithe, as you're obedient to God in your offerings, that's how we fund the work of God. How are we able to have a staff members to serve in various areas of this church and staff members to serve you and where your needs are and staff members to work and to touch you at your place of service. How do we do that? It is through God's method of giving of the tithe and the offering. I read about one preacher that got up to preach one morning on salvation, and he developed the point that salvation is free. And he kept repeating, salvation is as free as the water we drink. Well, a few Sundays later, he had to say something to church about the offerings being so low. And he got up and said, I hate to say anything, but the offerings have been terrible. We need you to give. And one fellow got up and reminded him of his sermon and how that salvation was as free as a drink of water. And the preacher said, indeed it is, but when you pipe the water in your house, you have to pay for the plumbing. Well, may I say tonight that what you do when you give is you pay for the plumbing. You pay for the work of God. That's God's method. And so when you do not give, the work of God is deprived. Second of all, not only is the work of God deprived, when you do not give, the people of God are deprived. For you notice there, not only in Malachi chapter 3, if they were not giving, they were robbing God, not bringing their money into the storehouse. But furthermore, notice what he said if they did give. He said, bring your tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And then he said, if you prove me, simply obey me. He said, I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I believe the Bible, don't you? And he tells me in Malachi 3 and verse 10 that if I do what he tells me to do, and if I give the way God tells me to give, if I'll give a tenth of my income plus something over above a tenth of my income, he is going to bless my life. Now, I know that. I know that because, one, this book tells me he'll bless my life. Is the Bible true? He said, if you'll give, I'll open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And I know that because the Bible says that, and I know that because I have found that to be true. And when we do not give, understand this, you are not only depriving God's house of the necessary funding for its ministry, but you are robbing yourself of a blessing that God has for you. When you rob God, you are doing more than robbing God. You are robbing yourself. How many of you has ever had anything made by Kraft Cheese? J.L. Kraft of the Kraft Cheese Corporation literally gave millions of dollars to the work of God. He gave more than 25% of his enormous income to the work of the Lord for years. And he made a statement that the only investment I have ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money that I have given to the Lord. When you do not give, you are robbing yourself of a blessing. You are robbing yourself of a blessing God has for you. What is it that people do not give? It is a tithe and an offering. When people do not give, they are depriving the house of God. They are depriving themselves. But here's the third and the final thing I want you to look at. That is simply this. Why people do not give? Why is it that people do not give? I could point out several reasons tonight, but I'm going to give you just two simple reasons why. I feel that most people do not give. They either do not give at all or they do not give the way God wants them to give. Now, how is it God wants us to give? He wants us to give, first of all, what? A tithe. Can you say that with me? A tithe. Can you say that with me? I know some of you never used the word before, but can you say that with me? What does God want you to give? A tithe. Let me do it like the charismatics do. Will you say that with me now? God wants you to give what? A tithe. All right, you're doing better there. I'm not going to talk in tongues, but I may run a little bit. Say amen right there. Now, why is he wants you to give a tithe and an offering? But why is it that many people do not give? Two simple reasons. Number one, fearfulness. Fearfulness. You don't know why many people do not obey God in the matter of giving of a tithe and an offering to the Lord? It's simply because of fear. For some reason, they fear that if I tithe, that if I actually give a tenth of my income and even give more than my income, they have a fear that for some reason they're not going to be able to make it. They have this idea that if I give a tenth of my income plus an offering, I will not be able to make ends meet. I want you to listen to me tonight. I have found through the years that if I give 10% to God, I can do more with the 90% than what I was doing with the 100%. And I'm sure the majority in you in this room tonight that tithe, really tithe, that you would stand up and say that I began tithing and I found, I don't know how to explain it, I cannot explain it, but I was able to go do more with the 90% than I was doing with the 100%. And that's the testimony of everyone. When you, it's amazing. I can't explain. There is no human explanation for it because we're not dealing with human factors. We're dealing divine factors. But when you give to God the way God wants you to give, for some reason, you never miss it. In fact, I think about a story I read to this, about a church in which the church treasurer resigned. And he resigned because things were in a mess. I mean, they didn't have any money. The books were in a mess there. It was terrible. He said, I don't want to handle this anymore. So he gave up the job. Nobody in the church wanted the job. They begged and they'd done everything, asking people to give money. But nobody would take the job. And the deacons were almost at their wits' end. And finally, they talked this fella in that ran a grocery store in town. And they said, if you'll take it just for a little while, we'd appreciate it so much. So they talked him into doing it, the guy that ran the grocery store. And so every year they'd have an annual report. And so 1 year later, that year they didn't have anything. They were broke. They were behind on bills and everything like that. But they got this fellow on the grocery store to take it. So 1 year later, he gave his annual report. And it amazed everybody. They had paid off a $5,000 loan on the church. Missions giving was up considerably. And there was even a large balance in the bank account. And when they gave the report, that storekeeper gave the report, everybody sat there stunned. And finally someone got up and asked, sir, how did you do it? And this is what the storekeeper said. It's a little town. He said, you all buy groceries at my store. And he said, what I've done for the past 12 months is whenever you come and bought groceries, I simply added 10% to your bill. And he said, you've all been tithing all along. Well, first of all, do we have anybody here that owns a grocery store? Let me get that out first of all. But you know what? It's amazing that if you learn to give the way God wants you to give, if you give a tithe and it becomes a habit in your life, you'll never miss it. And you'll find yourself being able to do more with the 90% than you're able to do with the 100%. But there are many that can't seem to grip that and to grasp that because they have such a fear that if I give the way I'm supposed to give, I'll not be able to make it. It may be the very reason you're struggling to make it is because you don't give the way God wants you to give to start with. Because somewhere God will get that which belongs to Him. But many reasons do not give because of fearfulness. But second of all, I'll tell you another reason why people don't give. And that is not only fearfulness, but faithlessness. Because it is a matter of trusting God. Because here's God now. We get out and work 40 hours, 50 hours a week, hard-earned money, and here is God telling me 10% of it belongs to Him. And how dare Him to come along and even ask for more than a tithe? But that's what He's doing of all that I have. And so here is God taking 10, 15%. In fact, a Jew, this is the way Jews gave. We often say they gave 10% a year. No, actually, when you look at tithing in the Old Testament, it was actually 20% a year. But you'll find that two times a year they were required to give 10%, which come out to 20%. And every third year they gave 30%. So really giving in the Bible really averages out to 23 1/3% a year. That's what giving in the Bible is. But if you really, but we would come along and God asked for this. And we say, I don't know if I can make it. Now let me ask you something. Is it not God that is asking you to give? And does not God ask you to give this amount? And is it not God that is promising you that if you give, I will bless you? That the more you give, the more I'll bless you with. And if you'll be faithful to me, is it not God making you those promises? Then the bottom line is this. If I am afraid to give God what He asked me to give, and I do not give because I'm afraid I can't make ends meet, the bottom line is this. I'm not trusting God. And over again, the Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. That I am to take God at His word and to trust God at His word. And the reason we do not give and why people do not give is, one, they're afraid to give, and their fear is simply revealing they will not have faith in God. Because what it will do, if you have not been used to giving at all, it'll be a step of faith for you to start giving what you think you can't give. But yet when you start giving what you think you can't give, you'll be amazed at what you're able to do with what you do not have versus what you used to have. And you'll start giving to God. And for you that have given but have never really tithed of your income, it'll be a step of faith for you to begin to give that amount every week. But again, when you begin to give that amount, you'll be amazed at how God honors His word in your life and He honors His promises in your life. And then for you that tithe and then begin to give over and above that to God, you say, I don't know how I can do it. But yet when you begin to give a specific amount and a special amount to God, you'll be amazed at how God will honor His word in your life. Look at 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 and we're going to close. Amen? Don't say amen. I heard one amen down there. He's ready to get through on this giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and notice verse 6. Look at this. Now here's the Bible. Here's the promise of God. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, did I read that right? Did I read that correctly? Is that in your Bible? Is the Bible the Word of God? Then what did God say? He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Here's what God said. That if I give the way He wants me to give and give, that He will bless me and I will reap that. That's a promise from God. Now when you do not give, you're not taking and trusting that promise. You're not having faith in God. You're not having faith in God that God will bless you or that God will help you with your giving. So really, the bottom line is many people do not give because they're afraid to give, and second of all, because they will not trust God with their giving. What you want to do, if you've ever had problems, well, if you ever get to the point where giving is not an issue to you, then it's not a matter of trusting God. I mean, you don't even think twice about giving your last penny to the work of God. And you don't think a thing about giving the last dollar you got in your pocket to whatever God He speaks to you in the heart. So I've been in meetings before and God said, give this to so-and-so over there. I've been in meetings before and drive hundreds and hundreds of miles and take money out of my own pocket to get there. And then they take me up a love offering. And many times God said, give that to the preacher. And if you ever learn to give, you don't think twice about obeying God in the matter of giving, because you know whatever He tells you to give, somewhere He's going to shovel it back in your life, so you don't worry about that. But if you're afraid to give, then it will be an act of faith. But I'm saying to you tonight, first of all, you want to obey God in every little detail, right? You want to be pleasing to God. You want to honor God because, listen, it may be a matter of $10 on Sunday. Maybe your tithe should be $30 and you're only giving $20. Just $10. But think about what that $10 act of disobedience costs you spiritually. Because it's a little thing, but it's just $10. But yet it's God's will. And God doesn't want 90% obedience. He doesn't want partial obedience. When God asks anything out of our life, He wants total obedience. And He accepts nothing less. And if we'll never learn to obey God totally, we'll never be blessed of God the way God wants us to be blessed. So learn to give the way God wants you to give. Let's stand on our feet, please. What we do not give is our tithe and offerings. When we do not give, we deprive the house of God and ourselves of the blessings God intended to be reaped through our giving. And why we do not give is because of fear and often a lack of faith. So I'm not going to ask you just to come to the altar tonight. I'm not going to ask you to come for that, but I want you wherever you stand, first of all, to ask yourself this question. Am I a giver as God wants me to be a giver? Am I a biblical giver? When I come to church on Sunday, do I give at least a tenth of what God gives me through the week? And not only do I give a tithe, but do I give something over and above a tithe? That's a Bible giver. Anything less than that is disobedience to the Lord. Amen? So ask yourself the question now, am I a Bible giver? Ask yourself the question, do I want to be blessed of God? Do I want to reap the fullest of God's blessings in my life? Do I want God to use me? Do I want to be obedient to God? Ask yourself, do you want to be blessed? Then if you are not a giver and you want to be blessed, then you want to be a giver. And again, God knows my heart tonight. God knows my heart. I'm not saying this to you to get more money out of you. You folks have given sacrificially through the years and continue to amaze me through your sacrificial giving. That is not my motive. God knows my heart. That is not my motive. I want you to be where God can bless your life and use you for the glory of God.